阅读、科技、旅行，
生活可以很大，对话设计、学习，思考不嫌太多。这里是 iTunes 获奖播客《狗熊有话说》，一听就停不下来的哦。Just a little conversation about getting your picture on the cover of a magazine, on the cover of a magazine. Hello, 大家好，欢迎收听这一期狗熊有话说 Bear Talk， 我是大狗熊。那么很多国内的朋友都会比较疑惑，就是我们在找工作的时候，如果要找一个很好的社交平台，哪一个平台会是最好的？那么狗熊我自己也有过这样的疑惑，所以今天呢我找了我的同事，在这方面是一个非常厉害的专家，在国外的社交媒体的平台呢他基本上都有涉猎，而且目前来说呢是我见到在这个LinkedIn 上面做自己的这个营销和内容推广做的最好的一位专业人士了。那么今天的嘉宾呢叫做 Jason， 是我的这个同事。那么 Jason， welcome and
thank you.
Yeah, and the first question I'm gonna ask is not for you but for me. Why took so long to invite you to my podcast? We've worked together for nearly 2 years, right?
Yeah.
So, but before that, could you introduce yourself first?
Sure.
And who you are and what you are doing, and also as a content creator, what you do?
Sure. So my name is Jason Greenwood. I'm currently e-commerce manager here at HealthPost, and that means I help to design, implement, support, and maintain all of our commerce technology, everything that kind of touches the customer. That allows us to sell our products and allows us to market our products. All of those technologies are kind of under my responsibilities. That means that I help to support all of the other departments and all of their e-commerce requirements, so especially the marketing team, etc. I've been with HealthPost for just almost 2.5 years now. And in addition to HealthPost, I speak at a lot of, digital industry-focused events. I try to produce as much content as I can about the digital space and try to share my knowledge and experience with whoever wants to listen. And also, I try to do as much kind of e-commerce consulting as I can to help the market get better at digital execution. So basically, I started producing content very actively pretty much the same month that I started with HealthPost. When I left, because I was working at a digital agency, so I've been in digital for over 15 years. And prior to HealthPost, I was an e-business consultant at an e-commerce agency here in Auckland for 5 years. And basically, when I left that role, I made a conscious decision to start sharing what I knew via content pretty much the same month that I started here. And I've tried to share content ever since.
Yeah, almost 2.5 years.
Yeah, nearly 2.5 years.
Yeah. Can I ask how many social account you have, and how many of them still you keep posts every day?
Yeah, I have accounts on most of the major platforms. So I do LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. I do a little bit of Twitter and a few other more minor social platforms as well. But certainly, I think over the last 6 to 7 months, my focus has really been LinkedIn. I've found that the kind of content that I was producing, which was primarily educational versus entertaining. My content, I'm not a comedian. I'm not a joker. I don't make pretty things that lend themselves to Pinterest or Instagram that much. So for me, I found that my content has found a better, more actively engaged audience on LinkedIn. But I do produce content, YouTube. I have a pretty strong YouTube account. where I produce a vlog there, and then I've also got a podcast as well, an iTunes listed podcast as well, which is At the Coalface. So I produce across a range of mediums, and I do a lot of writing as well. So on LinkedIn Pulse, I write a lot of blog articles on LinkedIn Pulse. So writing, speaking, video, I produce a range of content, but LinkedIn has definitely been a focus recently.
So I remember at first when we met, when we worked together in HealthPost, you mentioned you did a lot of content on Facebook, right? Facebook video, building video, and then you find maybe LinkedIn is a more a better platform for you. So can I ask what makes you make that change from Facebook or from other platforms marching to LinkedIn?
Yeah, well, surprisingly, my first platform that I started producing most of my content for was YouTube. So I actually had my first major social platform where I was really pushing out content that wasn't just for family and friends, yeah, was YouTube. And that was really my At the Coalface vlog. So that grew pretty slowly, just because I think YouTube is a very competitive place, mm-hmm, and it's really hard to establish an audience there first, especially with all the YouTube creators that are out there now. Yeah. And then I started to look at Facebook Live, because Facebook was really focusing on the live functionality. Yeah. And then, of course, they released Facebook Watch, and that elevated video again on the platform. And I did, so what I started to do was to effectively publish out my same content to YouTube, also to Facebook, with some differences and some content that was completely unique to Facebook Live. Short little clips that were shot, say, for example, on the move or in my car, that didn't require editing. It was just run and gun. Mm-hmm. Published that straight to Facebook Live. I was doing that. And then what I found was that for those short little run and gun kind of clips, actually they were much more popular on LinkedIn. Facebook is kind of hit and miss unless you're going to put some promotion and some marketing behind it, yeah, to expand your reach and to target a very specific niche. Yeah. In those scenarios, you can get some pretty good reach and you can get some pretty good viewership. But I found that with LinkedIn has such a much higher organic penetration, especially for video, because they're really trying to promote their video functionality at the moment. It's a better place to get traction. And so, like I said, of sort of the last 6 or 7 months, my focus really has been very, very heavily on LinkedIn, just because the reach and the engagement, those are the two things. Mm. The organic reach is for me, and the type of content that I produce, which is primarily educational and sharing from my experiences, they have they find a much better audience on LinkedIn, and that audience then engages more. So they ask more questions, they make more comments, they share it more amongst their audiences as well. And also because LinkedIn allows you to follow someone without actually being a connection, and then your content pops up on their feed, it allows them to share that out without actually being a formal connection, because there's a limit on the connections, but there's not a limit on your followers. Yep. So it gives you a couple of ways to be able to connect with an audience and engage with an audience.
So, can you give me an example of how you use LinkedIn to broaden your network? Is there an example like you post on Facebook, but you get some feedback and comments, but on LinkedIn you get something different?
Yeah, LinkedIn is the audience type and the demographic seems to be quite different between Facebook and LinkedIn. People tend to be in a much more professional mindset to begin with, mm-hmm, when they're searching their feed on LinkedIn. So they're in even if they've got the Facebook and LinkedIn open at the same time on their phone, mm-hmm, when they switch between the two, their mindset seems to instantly change once they hit LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And when they start engaging with you, they're in more of a mood to view, engage with, and consider educational and business-orientated content in a LinkedIn environment versus a Facebook environment. Yeah. Because Facebook environment, it seems to be it's a blend, right? Sometimes, yeah, people are there and sometimes they'll be interested in business-type content, but oftentimes they're in a personal mindset. You know, they're in a personal mindset with their friends and family. So yeah, it's a bit hit and miss with mindset on Facebook, whereas the mindset seems to be much more focused on business and professional learning, professional engagement, professional connection, trying to, you know, link up with people that are in the same industry as you or in industries that you're interested in. And, you know, it's an open sharing environment. And certainly with, especially with LinkedIn acquiring lynda.com and some of the other acquisitions that they've made, they certainly are bringing much more of an educational bent to the LinkedIn platform than ever before, and that's keeping people in that professional that professional bent when they get to the LinkedIn platform, I think.
Yeah, that's cool. Because also that's what I've learned from my own experience on using LinkedIn via Facebook. Because they are quite different. When you use Facebook or other social media platforms, it's all mixed together.
Yes.
Yeah. But before that, everyone thinks, or a lot of people just has a misunderstanding of LinkedIn. So just consider it as an online CV.
Yeah.
So it's there is a saying in China that if you update your status on LinkedIn, that means you want to find a new job.
You're looking for work.
Yeah. So how do you think of that? And do you think this is a common issue or it's a misunderstanding of that platform?
I think LinkedIn is going through a evolution, especially since Microsoft purchased them. Mm-hmm. They're going through an evolution where big name creators are starting to move to the platform because the attention is increasingly on the platform. Yeah. And because you don't have to pay to play yet to be there, and you don't have to pay for organic reach, they're now offering much better marketing tools for business pages. But in terms of personal profiles on LinkedIn, as opposed to business pages or business accounts, the organic penetration is still high. So any creator that's really starting to build a strong brand on LinkedIn versus other platforms, where really oftentimes they're needing to pay for distribution, on LinkedIn they're realizing they don't need to pay for distribution yet. I think it's coming, and I think that's going to change over the next 6, 12, 18 months. Microsoft will introduce a lot of new marketing tools that will put it on more of a par with Facebook in terms of its marketing functionality, because let's be honest, in terms of marketing functionality, you can't really beat Facebook and Instagram in terms of their ad manager and the way that you can, you know, cross-promote content, and the way you can do segmentation, and the way you can do your remarketing, and the way you can build lookalike audiences. And so much of the functionality on Facebook and LinkedIn is really, sorry, Facebook and Instagram is kind of the best there is from a social platform marketing perspective.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's why marketers have flocked to Facebook and Instagram and really ruined the experience in some respects, just because it's so easy to market well on Facebook and Instagram. And I think that, you know, LinkedIn will eventually try to emulate a lot of that ad platform functionality within their platform, because they want to draw the marketers, they want to draw that revenue, they want to draw that, they want to draw creators at the end of the day. And we're already seeing a shift. You know, there's been a couple of very, very famous just slipped my mind who this famous creator was that just recently moved over to LinkedIn. Taylor Nicolai just recently moved over to LinkedIn as a you know, and he's famous for Snapchat and Twitter. And he's got over a million followers on Twitter. He's got, you know, I don't know what his numbers are on Snapchat, but they're massive. You know, and he's just recently started to post very, very heavily on LinkedIn. He's making LinkedIn a focus. And as a very, very famous Twitter and Snapchat content creator and Instagram to lesser degree, you know, he has brought a whole different tribe and a whole different vibe to LinkedIn. And as these creators from other platforms migrate their audience over to LinkedIn, it's inevitable that the focus of the platform will change.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's created the growth and popularity of LinkedIn, is some of these massive headline grabbing creators have moved over to the platform, and when you have that happen, they bring their audience with them.
Yeah.
And so even if their audience wouldn't typically be professional, they want to be where those people are creating content.
Yeah.
And especially when they're creating unique content that you can only see on LinkedIn. And that's what they're doing. They're starting to create content that they only produce for LinkedIn. And so you have to follow them on LinkedIn to see their content.
Yeah.
So I think that's what's created the exodus. And I think it will only take one or two or three very famous KOLs from China to make a big power move on LinkedIn, and all of a sudden, LinkedIn's status in China will go through the roof. But it requires some groundbreaking people to start the change.
Yeah, actually, there are some KOLs already moved to LinkedIn on China. But we'll talk about China later. First, it's quite a different scenario.
Yeah,
it's a totally different market.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Mindset is different. And speaking of LinkedIn, I just recently met some very famous people in business, and I found there before everyone, if you ask for contact, and they will give you email and Facebook or Instagram, something like that. But now they just gave me the LinkedIn account link.
Yes.
So this make me realize, okay, it's not just hunting for job tour, not just a search tour for job. It's also a place to communicate professionals.
Yes.
With each other. So yeah, that's something make me to realize it's different from before that. I thought it's just a search tour for job hunting.
Yeah, I think LinkedIn's going to have to get better at the ability to share your LinkedIn profile with something like what Facebook has in their Messenger with their kind of QR code kind of functionality.
Yeah.
I think LinkedIn needs to come out with something similar to where somebody with their smartphone can just hold up the smartphone, the QR code, snap it, and instantly it will connect them via the LinkedIn app.
Yeah.
I think they're going to need to come with something like that because, like you, I've noticed, especially over the last couple of years, as I've gone to digital conferences and I've spoken and everything else, I don't even take business cards with me anymore. So if I want to connect with someone, I just say, "Oh, is this your profile on LinkedIn?" And they say, "Oh, yeah, that's me." And I just instantly hit connect. They on their phone, they approve, and we're instantly connected within 5 seconds in person at events.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't swap business cards anymore. We don't send emails to each other anymore. We just connect on LinkedIn, and then we private message directly via LinkedIn if we want to catch up for a coffee or something like that. So the LinkedIn messaging functionality I use a lot, and certainly LinkedIn is my de facto way to connect with other professionals at events, at conferences, at speaking gigs, at at social events, that kind of thing. It's just the default way that I connect with people now is LinkedIn.
Here's another question. If you are listening to the this episode of podcast, and if I'm okay, it seems quite interesting, but how can I start if I'm a beginner and even I don't have an account? How can I start on LinkedIn and connect with some KOL or some professionals?
Mm-hmm.
How to start that?
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. It's like most social platforms, you just have to start. So the first thing is to create your account, which requires just a very minimal amount of information. You don't even have to put up a profile picture of yourself, although I recommend that you do, so that people can recognize you. One of the reasons why I suggest people put a profile picture up is so that when people are searching for you at an event, they go, "Oh, yeah, I'm watching this." Definitely, because sometimes the names are the same, and so you want to make sure you're connecting with the right person who's on the stage or the right person in a conversation. So you put a profile pic, people go, "Yeah, that's definitely him. I'll connect to the right person." That's the first thing. So to create a really rich profile, to put as much information as you can in both your title, your intro summary, as well as your work professional bio, any certifications you have, education. Basically, make as rich of a profile as you possibly can so that people can A, identify you, and B, it generates interest in your profile. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
I think then, because you don't have to connect to people to follow people, start to do some searches for your industry. So now LinkedIn over the last month has started to introduce full support for hashtagging. In all of your post content, it actually auto recommends certain hashtags. You can actually follow hashtags from your profile now. So there's a lot of hashtag supported functionality that there never used to be before. So I'd follow hashtags of interesting content that's interesting to you. Then I would start engaging with the people posting that content. So comment on that content, and that starts exposing your profile to people in that industry or in that space or people following that hashtag. And then oftentimes they will then, if you follow them, then oftentimes they will turn around and follow you as well. So that means you don't have to go through the formal process of connecting as a connection, which the person actually has to accept for you to be connected as a connection in the first place. You can follow and people can follow you with very little engagement required. And you don't have to approve them to follow you. They can just follow you. Yeah. And then from there, I think starting to make meaningful connections, both pure online connections as well as at meetup groups. If you go to a meetup group, start connecting with the people at the meetup group via LinkedIn. If you're going to conferences, if you're speaking at conferences, if you're, link up with people in your industry that you already know, start to connect with them as connections. Yeah. And then what happens when you start to produce content and push that out, your connections, when they comment or when they engage with your content, that is immediately surfaced to their circle of connections. So it starts to expand where your content is exposed to. And then I would suggest decide what type of content you're most comfortable creating and create that. So whether that's a short form post, whether that's a long form article on Pulse, because everybody can publish to their blogging platform, yeah, or if it's video, or all three. If you're comfortable with all three, do all three. But just start producing content that starts to build a magnet for people that are interested in that type of content to be able to connect with you so that they can follow you. I mean, mine's been a slow, steady build. I mean, yeah, when I started actively producing content on LinkedIn, I think I had like around 1,000 connections, and I've now got, about 1,000 followers, and I've got about 1,700 followers now since I started to actively create content on LinkedIn. I've got nearly 100 videos on LinkedIn. I've got about 15 Pulse articles on LinkedIn now. So it's a slow build, but it just organically builds over time, and it's been really good.
17,000 followers.
1,700, 1,700, not 17,000. So 1,700 followers. Yeah. Which is not a lot. I mean, there's, Gary Vaynerchuk, I think he's got over 1 million followers, like he does on every platform. There's some very, very big influencers on LinkedIn now that have, 500,000, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million followers on LinkedIn now. So it's becoming an actual influencer-based platform now.
Yeah. And speaking of which, if anyone listening to this podcast, if you want to learn how to use LinkedIn or how to start on it, also, another way Jason mentioned, lingda.com, there are also a lot of tutorials that you can choose to learn it, and it's also quite useful. Mm. Yeah,
the LinkedIn Learning platform, which is the former lingda.com, it's called LinkedIn, yeah, Learning now, yeah, has a lot of content on there specifically about specific subjects, including how to use LinkedIn itself.
Now let's talk something about China.
Yes.
And about LinkedIn in China. It's officially some facts about LinkedIn in China. It's officially went into China market at 2014 and named Lingying. It's a very very good name in Chinese characters. And now it has more than 20 million users, but which is not very, very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there are other entertaining platforms has huge followers.
WeChat, obviously, and Weibo being the two biggies.
Yeah, and they have, they kind of had some independency, which they can, in China, they produce their own app named Shitu. It's a red horse. The name is a red horse. It's similar as LinkedIn native app, but it's just for China and the color is red.
Wow.
And it's an animal on it, mm-hmm, so which is so different from LinkedIn general VI. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just they pay a lot of attention on China market. But actually, if you search the reports of LinkedIn's performance in China market, it's not that bad and not that good.
Yeah.
Because the the general manager, CEO, just left last year, and also the reports are just kind of, there are also some negative reports about LinkedIn, and I think it's maybe because this is a really dynamic market and has some very unique user needs, and also you know, it's not easy to copy the same business model to China market, because other big companies, they also have the same issue.
Yes.
Yeah, like Google, they already left.
And Facebook. I mean, look, I think what's interesting about China that you educated me about is the fact that, unlike Facebook and Google and Apple and a lot of the, you know, Instagram and the major Western social platforms, you know, LinkedIn is one of the very, very few Western platforms that actually can operate behind the Great Firewall of China without a VPN or without some sort of complex, hard workaround for people to use the platform. And even though it's a Western-originated platform, the fact that the Chinese government allows it to operate behind the Great Firewall of China is a massive advantage, in my opinion. It's a huge advantage for the LinkedIn platform, but it's also a massive advantage for the China market, who are trying to expose themselves to the Western market and trying to connect with the Western market, whether it be for business, for content collaboration, in any way, shape, or form. This allows the KOLs, for example, to expose themselves to a completely new market outside of the very walled garden of WeChat. Yeah. It allows them to grow their influence in ways that they couldn't in any other way. So I actually think LinkedIn's in a great position, but also China, the market itself, is in a great position if they start leveraging LinkedIn more.
Yeah, it's like a portal from two different worlds.
Yeah.
And the only barrier right now is language and control.
Yes.
That's something not easy to remove, but it's easy to connect. And so far as my experience, is quite a good way if you really want to learn how to work in a Western country company, or if you would like to find a job, it's quite useful to build your LinkedIn profile before the job hunting.
And it's a great way also to follow industry leaders that you're interested in, or even CEOs or hiring managers of companies that you might be targeting. If you start following them on LinkedIn, especially if they're producing a lot of content, you can actually learn a lot about their business. You can learn a lot about their personal interests. You can learn a lot. You can engage with their content, and it's a less aggressive engagement model than going straight to them via direct message and saying, "Hey, will you hire me?" It's a more subtle way of exposing yourself to them as a possible employee that then you can have a dialogue with that over time than just smashing them between the eyes and being so direct. So I really like LinkedIn for the ability to develop a relationship over time with influencers. It's a bit unique. It's a bit like Twitter in that way, in that it's really easy to just engage with somebody's content, maybe make a comment here and there. It puts you on their radar in a non-offensive way. It's not offensive. It's just natural.
Yeah. And I found some comments from Chinese user about LinkedIn, and the interesting thing is there are some very totally different comments on it. And some people said it's okay, single, real, and professional, and all the information on that platform is serious, and they are learning and improving from it, so it's quite helpful for career. And some people said it's just a lot of chicken soup for souls.
Chicken soup for the soul. I understand.
So on that, and it's they're just not talking about real things. I think it depends on what you are searching. And also a very interesting comment is that LinkedIn is useful but boring.
Well, I tell you, that may have been the case even a year ago, but with the advent of video and major creatives moving across the LinkedIn platform, my feed, it really depends on who you follow. But, you know, if you're following interesting people, doing interesting things, producing interesting content, your feed is definitely not going to be boring on LinkedIn. But it really, it's completely under your control.
Yeah.
You know, who do you follow, who do you connect with, and who do you choose to stay connected with? Mm. One of the mistakes I see on LinkedIn happen almost every single day is I will get a connection request, I will connect with someone. Someone might even send me a really nice connection request with maybe a paragraph saying, hey, I really enjoy your content, let's connect, let's maybe meet up at a conference or whatever, and I'll say, sure, let's connect. And then literally the very next message is them trying to sell me something. Mm-hmm. And this is something I experience almost every single day on LinkedIn. And I immediately, whenever that happens, I immediately disconnect from the person. If I was following them, I stop following them. And I basically completely disengage with that person because it is the wrong approach on LinkedIn. It is a great sales tool if you are focused on building relationships, which may lead to collaboration or business, as opposed to saying, I'm making this connection purely to be able to market to someone's inbox. Mm-hmm. That's a totally different mentality to LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And I think the people not using LinkedIn well, they connect with you, they almost trick you into connecting with them, and then immediately via direct message, they're saying, here's my company, this is what I do, when can we schedule a call? And it's such an offensive use of the platform. I feel like my inbox has been violated.
Yeah.
And I think most people feel that way.
Yeah.
So I think if people are smart, it's a fantastic way to make connections that could potentially lead to collaboration opportunities, but you can't go into it with that expectation.
Well, that's really helpful advice.
Yeah.
And also, I think for China, a lot of our listeners, our audience are work and live in China, and maybe you are quite interested about LinkedIn and how to use it. And for my part, for my opinion, I have to say, if you would like to learn from professionals, especially from people who already live in Western countries or that kind of company you would like to go, and that kind of the KOLs you would like to be inspired. So LinkedIn is a perfect choice, but it could not that mix together like Weibo or other platform.
Yes.
And for a lot of Chinese, I think we like dynamic.
Yes.
We like a lot of things mixed together and make it, and also a lot of Chinese China users would like to explore the functions behind the platform, or explore the limits of the platform. For example, one of my friends said he used to find some girls to take out on a food comment social platform.
Yes.
Not just on some date.com, but also on some
other social platforms.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you look at Instagram, and you know that whole concept of sliding into someone's DMs.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe asking them out or trying to communicate with them in a romantic way on a platform like Instagram. It's becoming very common to slide into someone's DMs.
Yeah.
That is very it's a dangerous territory on LinkedIn if you use LinkedIn in that way.
Yeah,
because it's so focused on the professional market, it is considered exceptionally unprofessional.
Yeah.
You know, where on other platforms, it's maybe 50-50. Okay, some people will be okay with it, and some people will be really offended. On LinkedIn, it's 99.9% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
If you used it in a non-professional way, people would be highly, especially females, would be highly, highly offended if you were leveraging the platform to kind of private message them to maybe ask them out or something like that. So that would definitely be a little bit of a word of warning, naming and shaming on these platforms is becoming very common.
Yeah.
And so screenshotting a DM and then publishing that with a link to the person's profile, you can immediately destroy your professional credibility just like that with one professional misstep. So just be a little bit cautious and make sure you keep it professional would be my only advice in that regard.
Yeah. So find professionals and behave like a professional.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's a misconception. I think people are creating really entertaining, fun, non-professional type content on LinkedIn now, just showing their daily lives. And sometimes it's a mix of professional and personal, but it's never... It's definitely got a slightly more professional tinge to it than other platforms, and certainly you wouldn't get the same kind of backlash on other platforms that you get on LinkedIn. If you the further you stray from the professional on LinkedIn, especially if you're doing it on a one-to-one communication basis, it can really harm your professional and personal brand very quickly.
Advice. Mm-hmm. So, and also in China, there are some other platforms, not only for social network, like Zhihu.com. It's kind of like China style Quora. So, and it's also very helpful for professional learning and even for job hunting. But I think LinkedIn is a very, it's just like what we said before, it's like a window, both open to China and to Western countries. Mm-hmm. So if you would like to improve yourself as a professional, probably start to build your LinkedIn account.
Yeah, I would, my advice to the Chinese is, and I've seen quite a number of Chinese profiles, as you know, because LinkedIn will recommend people for you to connect to or people to follow. It, like any social platform, it will make recommendations of people to that you might like to connect with, or maybe the people that you might know. What I've seen in a lot of the Chinese profiles is that it's either one or the other. They either focus exclusively on China, and their entire profile, for example, is in Mandarin or in Chinese characters, or their profile is 100% in English because they're targeting maybe going and working in a Western country or something like that. I think there's actually, I've never seen it done that well yet on LinkedIn, where somebody will have, you know, everything in both Chinese and English, for example. So, you know, blending those two in almost a 50-50 degree basis, where, you know, you say everything that you need to say to communicate professionally to the Chinese market in Chinese, but you say all of the same stuff, but maybe in a slightly Western-orientated way in English. Yeah. And I think there's a huge opportunity for that, to blend the two cultures together to where you can connect equally well with the Chinese market and equally well with the English-speaking market. I mean, if I spoke Chinese, for example, my profile would be like 50-50. It would be speaking to the Chinese market, so I could connect with Chinese in a meaningful way, but it would also speak to the Western market. It's just, unfortunately, I don't speak Chinese, so I can't. But if I could, I definitely would. And I think that should be a focus for a lot of, especially Chinese KOLs. I think, you know, doing the 50-50 thing is a very powerful tool to connect with multiple cultures.
I would do that.
Yeah.
That's a very, very helpful advice for me.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, we've talked a lot, and I think this is a huge topic. If you really want to learn how to use LinkedIn as your social network or just SEO professional improvement tour, it will be a lot. Do some research and also check some other articles or something else. Mm-hmm. So, if we want to connect you, how can we find you?
Just connect with me on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So Jason Greenwood, e-commerce manager of HealthPost. I don't think there's actually that many Jason Greenwoods on LinkedIn, although there are a few. But if you just Google me, I think my profile on LinkedIn is one of the very first profiles that turns up in Google. Mm-hmm. When you Google Jason Greenwood New Zealand, I think I'm the first one that turns up. So connect with me there or any other social platform. They all, I kind of connect to them all from all the various platforms, so I can be found almost anywhere. I'd love to connect with your audience and get to know some of your audience better. That would be awesome. And if they've got any questions, they can shoot me a DM or whatever, and I'll be happy to kind of share my advice if I can. The other thing I would suggest also that might be helpful to your audience is LinkedIn's video is still very immature. So the ability to create like a playlist or things like that, it doesn't really exist natively on LinkedIn. So what I did is I created a LinkedIn Pulse article that I created as a video playlist. So the only thing in that article is links to all of my videos, and every time I create a new video, I link to that as the most recent entry in that page. Mm-hmm. So that might be something your audience might like to do. If they start creating a lot of video and they want to create a playlist, just create a LinkedIn Pulse article called, I just called it Jason Greenwood's Video Playlist on LinkedIn. And then whenever somebody views your articles, they can go there and they can see that, and it gets indexed by Google as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, And I will add Jason's LinkedIn link in this podcast show note, so you can check that.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Bear. It was awesome chatting with you, and we will definitely have to do it again sometime soon.
Yeah.
Let's not leave it 2 years to do it again.
Yeah, it's like you are the hottest girl in the class. I take 2 years to invite you.
I don't know about that, but no, I've really enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you, and we'll see you guys in the next episode. Thank you.
Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Just a little conversation about getting your picture on the cover of a magazine. Just a little